Morning. Thank you everyone for coming. This morning is always a tricky morning after Slichos, whether you say it in the middle of the night or you say it early in the morning. Either way, it's hard. It's extra coffee, I think, in the back. Being the fact we're already starting Slichos, I felt a topic that would be appropriate. This week is entitled The Chazan. For Slichos and Yamin Arayim. And when you think about davening, Yamin Arayim for the High Holy Days, the period that we say Slichos before, a major player, some would say the major player in all of it is the Chazan, the Shleach Tzibur, the person getting up there, and what we call davening for the Amud, davening up front on behalf of everybody. And tremendous history about Chazanim. You know, in some shuls, the Chazan would get paid more than the rabbi. The cantor, it's a big position. There were famous names in the Jewish world going back decades ago. Yasulo Rosenblatt, Kosovitsky, major Chazanim. And even today, you have places where Chazanis is a big deal, and certain shuls or synagogues will have their big Chazan, they'll have even Chazanis concerts, and to hear how they say, you know, they're Kol Nidre, wow. It's interesting. I was doing research about Chazanim. So two people actually sent me to interesting area that portrays really a lot about Chazanos and the picture of America. The first motion picture, a little movie trivia, in America that had sound was in 1927. There was a movie produced by some nice Jewish boys called the Warner Brothers. The name of that movie was The Jazz Singer. What was the plot of this story? It was based on the play originally called The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. It was an unfortunate story of the times in 1927 America. 1927 America, for the most part, there was one, maybe two yeshivas in all of America. And the state of Yiddishkeit, especially for the younger generation, was quite dark. Told of a story of a boy, Jakey Rabinowitz. His father was an old European chazan in a shul on the Lower East Side. But he was growing up Americanized. I was getting into the new fad of music at that time, jazz. And Jackie found himself some Saturday nights hanging out in these jazz clubs. His father found out about it and was obviously very upset about it. Eventually to the point that Jackie runs away from home, leaves his parents, and goes off to pursue a career as a jazz singer. As fate would have it, Jackie succeeds, has a great voice, and meets up with some shiksa. And Jackie is offered a role in a major performance. There's no turning back. This is the life that he's accepted. All the while, his parents are getting older, his father gets sick. His father, the Chazan, one year, Yamin Arayim, can't daven for the Amud. Jackie hears about this, and he weighs the night of Yom Kippur, when his father was sick and was supposed to daven for the Amud, was also the opening night of his big jazz performance. And with the ultimate struggle of faith, Jackie decides to give up jazz, comes back to his roots on Yom Kippur, davens for the Amid, and his father, his last words he breathes are, "I have back a son again." That's this story portrayed in 1927 America. Where Beryl Wine, someone told me, observed from this point, think about it. 1927 America, a random American sitting in Oklahoma. This is the plot. This is a story which he finds interesting. This movie went on, it's considered one of the best of all time. It really ended what they call the silent movies. Answer is, people identified in 1927 America with the struggle of the melting pot, the struggle of a European Jewish family putting up roots in the Lower East Side, children swaying from the path of parents. They understood the concept of a chazan and how important it was for the synagogue, and people all across America could relate to this story. It says a lot about America. As my introduction to the share today, I would say this story also says a lot about America, because unfortunately things haven't changed so much. Not just as constantly a struggle from generation to generation to make sure that the Masorah, the clarity of how important it is to live a Jewish life, is passed on from one generation to another. That's the challenge of living in even the 21st century America. But really the picture of what's a chazan, I think to many American Jews, is more likely that picture depicted by Warner Brothers than a picture that might be depicted inside the Mishnah Berurah but from the Chafetz Chaim. And one thing I'd like to do today is explain, go through the halachas, what are the requirements for a chazan? What defines what a chazan is? We'll go through some of those requirements. It could be that would passel this screenplay, 1927. So if you look in your sheets, the Shulchan Aruch, this is Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Aruch Chaim, Tov Kuf Pei Aleph. The Ramah writes, the didactic, one should be very careful, Lach Sarach HaShliach Tzibur, to go after, to find a chazin, Hayoser Hagen Vayoser Gadol B'Torah V'Maisim. You have to find someone who's very great in Torah and in Maisim and Mitzvos. She'ef Shalom Motzi She'espal Slichos Yom HaNarayim. He should be the one to lead the congregation in Slichos and Yom HaNarayim. V'she'yeh ben Shloshim Shana. He should be 30 years old. Gam She'yeh Nasoi. Also, he should be married. These are the ideal requirements for a chazan. Mi'o kol Yisrael k'sherim. Really, any Jew is kosher to do this. Rachi merutzel kahal. But the most basic of factors is the congregation should want him. So what's the Ramah, what's the Shulchan Aruch bringing down over here? Comes out four basic requirements. The first requirement is he should be great in Torah and Maisim. Ideally, the chazan, and we'll see this, is not just somebody who has a good voice and knows how to do nusach and carry a tune. But ideally, a chazan is a person of stature, a person who has succeeded levels in Torah and mitzvos. The Mishnah Berurah talks about in Sivkot and Tess, Nagel Avir of Neateva, Parnasim Manhigim Shiyodim Tsar Hador. Included in that are people that know of the challenges, the pain of the generation. Sounds like these are all factors: a person's level of Torah scholarship, his mitzvos, and his feelings for the pain, for the suffering, for the yisurim that people are going through. That's the best person to represent everybody, to daven as a shliach tzibur, literally a messenger for everyone else. And you'll find over the ages, I remember I have an uncle who for many, many years were davened by the yeshiva Tor V'Das, their minyan in Brooklyn. And the yeshiva over there, their chazan, was this famed Talmud of the yeshiva. He himself started the yeshiva, yeshiva of Brooklyn. A big tzaddik. He would daven for the Almud. I know yeshiva back in Queens, Reuven Hochberg Shlita, daven for many, many years for the yeshiva. As he was getting older and felt he couldn't do it anymore, it was a big discussion in yeshiva, who should be, take his place to become the next Baal Tefillah for the yeshiva. The yeshiva looked and they decided to choose Rabbi Chanan Zon, who happens to be the head of the Chevra Kedisha in Queens, the Talmud of the yeshiva, but really involved in whole organization for Chevra Kedisha is all around America. That's somebody who knows the Tzar of Ador, also a person who's a stature of Torah and mitzvos. Ideally, that's a person. Pick somebody that understands the tzaros. That should be someone to daven. Interesting, it comes up a lot. Sometimes you have a shul, you have a little minyan that's looking for a chazan. And many times here in yeshiva, they'll try to find a smedrishbacher, somebody who knows how to daven, let him daven for the amud. And through the years in yeshiva, there are many talmidim in yeshiva. They were young, they were not 30, they weren't even married. And they're going off to daven in small shuls, and some of them got pretty big shuls. A friend of mine was davening, I think even as a bacher, at the big Beth Jacob shul in Atlanta. Someone else got a big, as a bacher, got a big shul in Vancouver, British Columbia. Picking a young kid to daven for the Amud? But really based on this requirement, which Shmuel Kamenetsky brings down, back of your sheets, that we find that we do allow B'nai Yeshiva, they're already B'nai Torah, they're already people involved in learning, and that stage, being a part of Yeshiva, being B'nai Torah, that itself a person should realize is a tremendous level of a status. You're in yeshiva, you're a ben Torah, that's already some darga. Obviously there are levels and levels to be a bigger Talmud Chacham, but just being a ben Torah, a ben yeshiva, that already is a certain status that, hey, you could get a job. Talmud for the Amud, Shliach Tzibur. So that's one requirement for a person to be of stature, Torah, mitzvos, understanding the pain of the generation. A second requirement we saw in the Ramah, to be 30 years old. What's the idea behind 30 years old? Why is that a number? So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkatan Yud Beis, he writes, Sha'az Roi ben Levi Lavoda, V'tfilahu K'neged Avoda. A Levi would train till he was about 25. And really the ideal time to start serving was 30 years old. 30 years old, that's when people start to serve in the Beis HaMikdash as a Levi. And similarly, tefillah is k'neged avoda. So that's the idea of 30. That's one idea. V'gam sha'az libel nishper v'nitke. At such an age, your heart is already broken you have a certain anava, you've been through challenges in life. So at 30, that's the point, that the age for a person could be the ideal chazan, 30 and above. Now, it's very interesting. You see the Chafetz Chaim in his footnotes on the Mishnah Berurah, the Shaar HaTzion. He brings over here, he's quite perplexed. If you look at the end of the first line, Chin be'emes, tevos elu, elohem shum bir. Chafetz Chaim says, these words, when you're 30 years old, you're broken, and you're ready, you have humility, that doesn't make any sense. The Lo Adraba, Ben Lamel LeKolach. You're 30 years old, you're in your prime. Kshadim Chazak LeKolach, Ein Lo Libo Nishbar. A guy's 30 years old, he still feels young. He doesn't yet feel like an older person who already has a certain humility, who's been through the challenges of life. How can we say at age 30 you've been through it all? Okay, some people, it's tough in Shidduchim. Dating's tough. But, come on. The Chafetz Chaim doesn't buy that. 30 years old? You're ready? Leiv nishbar v'nitke? The Chafetz Chaim ends up saying, I'm reading from the third line, Achora Yisi Omer Shetal Seferu B'kol Bolv Ramah. The Chafetz Chaim assume this, my question so strong, how could be 30 years old, you're already a humble person, you've been through the challenges of life, doesn't make any sense. Must be it's a printing mistake. Not just a printing mistake in the Ramah, in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Kolbo, this other Sefer, which was the source of the Ramah. Yet, printing mistake here and there. It's Arachlom ben Shishim. Really, the letter, the printer left off one letter. Warner Brothers must have been the printer. It's Tzorach Lomer ben Shishim in the South Samach. We should have said 60 and he just flipped the Samach for a Lamed. That's what the Chafetz Chaim writes. Then he says, I found another gear. Okay, maybe it's 30 and above. But the Chafetz Chaim can't reconcile this. It's very interesting, this little discussion. Because it gives you an insight of age. The Chafetz Chaim, in his view of life, doesn't think if you're under 60, you're missing out some element of life. You haven't yet felt that's a cutoff point. He doesn't go by retirement at 65, 60. At 60, there the Chafetz Chaim's hashara, his evaluation is, you've been through struggles of life, then it's libo nish bevenitke. 30 is still a young rookie. No. Yeah, yeah. Look, the Chafetz Chaim is saying this as a general rule. Of course there are people, Rachman Litzlan, nowadays, yeah, people could go through Chas Hashem cancer, different ailments, right? I wasn't really joking about Shidduchim. Right? He could go through rough things. Chas Hashem, a person could become a widow at a young age. There are many different things which make up who a person is. The Chafetz Chaim is talking here, the Halach is talking in a general sense. That this element, a person is leiv nishbar v'nitke, his heart is broken, he's already sublime, he's already has humility. So where's the point? So the Chafetz Chaim refuses to accept it's at 30, assumes maybe it's closer to 60. But either way, you see an element of what's needed for a chazan. A chazan definitely isn't a big bal gaiva, which shouldn't be, who's proud of his voice, who has anything but humility. Leiv nishba v'nitke, what we're discussing, is all about how subdued a person is, how gentle he is, how sensitive he is. He's been through challenges in life. He understands other people's challenges. That's the MO, that's the requirement of a chazan. Third element we saw in the Ramah, the guy should be married. If these things come up, right? You could have a chazan, could be davening for years, Rachman's son becomes a widow, gets divorced. One of the ideals for a chazan is for one to be married. And the basis of this, Chavetz Chaim bring down, the Mefarshim bring down, Dumi the Kohen Gadol, similar to what you have with the Kohen Gadol, that the Kohen Gadol had to be married, and the Mishnah at the beginning of Maseches Yuma goes through the tremendous preparations that were made. They sort of set up for the Kohen a wife in waiting. Just in case Chas Hashem, his wife passes away, they'll have someone else there, the Chiper Ba'ado Va'ad Beso, that he should bring about atonement not just for himself, but also for his wife, for his family. And having a wife, one element, it saves him from chait, but more than that, he's davening on behalf of somebody else. He has a certain responsibility. A person who is single doesn't have the same responsibility as a person who has a wife. Yes?
Wouldn't that contradict the second reason? If he becomes a widow, he's gone through something he might not understand the sorrows.
That's true. But there still is an element of this added point of achrayas, of nasoi. You know, I'm not sure. You know, I wonder practically what happens is, you know, this definitely could happen. You could have a chazan who becomes a widow over the year. Do we automatically disqualify for that? I don't know. We'll see in a moment. There's another element which plays in over here. But yes, of course, anyone who's been through a tragedy of a spouse passing away or other elements in life, divorce, these are things that's great on the person. And it definitely affects who you are.
This standby wife, is that like on standby in case she dies on Yom Kippur?
Yes.
So if that's the case, he gets remarried to this new wife on Yom Kippur, and relations are forbidden, how does he consummate?
It's a great question. We'll talk about that. Excellent question.
You just kedushin.
Yeah. But what you see so far is this general concept of being great in Torah and mitzvos, to be 30, to be married. And really, the Ramah throws in this other, what I call general clause, should be merutz of l'kahal, should be wanted by the congregation. And first and foremost, that's where the element of having a good voice, of being somebody that people want to hear daven, versus somebody that's grating on the ears, people don't want to hear, that's a factor. I discussed with the posek that, hey, you know, you do find in many shuls, you go through these four requirements. Number four, perhaps, is first and foremost, how great a scholar Talmud Chacham is. Right? Leiv Nishka V'Nitka. Married, we only ask about his private life. Good voice. That's what the board sits and they'll hear a piece by him, and that's what they're voting on. So this posuk was saying, look, you know, shuls want to fill up their benches for Yom Narayim, and if they don't have someone with a good voice, no one's going to come. So, and if no one comes, no one's going to hear the Rav's drasha when he gets up there to talk about tshuva and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So, you know, it is important to have someone who davens well and a name brand, you know, for it. Big time singer. But when you go through the halacha, okay, that's an argument that one could make depending on the shul, depending on the people. But really, ideally, if you get the picture of what's going on over here, you want a shliach tzibur, you want someone to represent the whole congregation, he's your Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh Kedoshim. You want the best man possible for it. You know, in some shuls, especially by Ni'ilah, the Rav of the shul will be the one to daven Ni'ilah, to daven the last tefillah of Yom Narayim, last tefillah of Yom Kippur. I remember hearing stories of my wife's grandfather, Joseph Grumbatz, that's all. He would be, they had Bichazonim there for Shachris Musaf, But for the last, from the Elah, he would always go up there as the Rav. He would daven. There's definitely something to that. Another disqualifying point, especially in this last clause, is to be Merutz L'Kahal. Let's say you have somebody who sort of takes the position by force. That doesn't work. Congregation has to want him. They talk about another thing in halacha. Talks about someone who's mechavin shalohotzi. This guy has vendettas. He doesn't like somebody in the congregation. I'm davening for everybody except for my enemy, Bob. That doesn't work. Even if he's l'shem shemayim, there was a story a few years back. These are halachas about tefillah, but to a din for a baal tokea, person who's picked by a congregation to blow shofar. Also, there are important requirements going to that. But there was a story a few years ago going around, true story, of in a certain shul, they wanted to make a campaign against technology, smartphones. So the person, before the person got up to blow tekiah shofar, he says, I have in mind to be motzi everyone in the shul who doesn't have a smartphone. Ma'isa shahaya kachaya. They said half the shul packed out, frantically looking for another shul that they could hear tekiah shofar. But Apia Lotha, there are clear poskim that talk about such a case. You're not supposed to do that. It's not correct. Right? If you're Shlech Tzibur, your mentality, I am here to represent everybody, I'm here to be motzi everybody, and it's not a time to be a kanoi and attack people that have smartphones and the like. Now, a few additional points. Quickly run through. If you have a conflict between these choices, like we talked about, hey, somebody, you know, the simplest of cases, you have somebody who's young, like we said, could be he's not married, he's definitely not 30, but he's a Ben Torah. He's a tremendous Baal Maisim. Versus you have someone older who's not such a great scholar, not such a big Baal Mitzvos, Askin. What comes first? So the Chafetz Chaim writes Beferish. At the end of Sivkot and Yud Gimel, Upashad Dimizdam and Loshnayim. You have two people in front of you. Echad Shu Ben Torah V'Yarechet. He's a Ben Torah. He's fearful. Vein Lo Ela Pratim. But he is not married. He's not 30. V'Asheni, who Ish Pashad, a simple Jew. V'Nasoi V'Yosim Yiben Shloshim. Who should the board pick as the chazan? A ben Torah kodem. The Mishnah Berurah says this element of a ben Torah, of what's in his maxi, what's he built in, that should come first. You have other shailas. Who should you put up for musaf versus shachris? Which is the more important of the tefillos? So the post can bring musaf is more important. So really, if you have the choice. Let's say you have one person who fulfills all these requirements, the other guy doesn't. It shouldn't just be the better voice goes for Musaf. It should be the person who's more Yosar Hagun, who's more fit. You should put up the bat for Musaf. Other person, a bat leadoff, will do Shachris. You also have a concept of a Chazaka. Someone who goes about and does this over the years, he gets a chazakah, he gets a status of being the chazan in that shul. And even if for a year he gets sick, or avelus, or something comes up, he's not able to do it, okay, but he still retains his chazakah. And the following year, you should put him up, he should still be the one to daven. You know, post can talk about how quick does one establish a chazakah over here. Normally a chazakah takes 3 times. But even the Mishnah Berurah brings over here, it could be 1 time, assuming that the relationship was that you get it, not just a trial year. But if a guy gets up to even for 1 year, it could be you already have some type of chazakah, unless you speak out otherwise. So that's all in general. We've been talking about a chazan, the requirements for Yamin Arayim. What about for Slichas? Do these same requirements apply? No, probably most shoals. The one requirement for davening Slichas V'lama is the quickest guy to get us through so we can get out to work in time. What requirements, are there requirements for Slichos similar to Yamin Arayim? So I did find in one sefer wanted to argue that, yeah, Slichos is a different level than Yamin Arayim. It's not the same. And one could be Mekel. However, the Pashtus is, even if you look at the language of the Ramah that we read, the second line, right? It's talking about you should be medactic so much to have a Shliach Tibor. She'efshim so she spells Slichos v'yamin arayim. The Ramah himself groups the two together. So the Pashtus is, and other places it's mashma this too, that they have similar requirements. Some say, okay, you know, in yeshivas, who davens for the Amud for Slichos? You have usually Bachram in yeshiva. So I saw Shmuel Kamenetsky breaks down, okay, that fits the requirement like we talked about before, that just being in yeshiva, that status that of a person's life, that you're in yeshiva, you're a Ben Torah, that's an important status, and yeah, you could be eligible to daven for the Amud, at least for Slichos, perhaps even the Amud Narayim. There is an interesting halacha. The Ramah brings it down here, the last line. The Yesh Mekomos Nogim Shemespal Slichos Mespal Kol Hayom. They have a minog. There are places that have a minog that the person who davens Slichos davens the entire day. Which means if you daven Slichos, you daven Shacharis, Mincha, and even Ma'ariv. Now there's a debate. Are we talking about Ma'ariv after Mincha? Or Ma'ariv the night before. But it's Yesh Mekomos. Now there are many places, and I'm makbid in this minuk. In fact, here in Yeshiva this morning, by Naiman led the Kehila for Slichos, and one of the Talmidim in the Yeshiva, Davin Shachris. However, there are places that are makbid. Back in Queens, I remember Yeshiva was makbid. They had a person Davin, and they wouldn't just makbid. Some places are makbid, okay, for Shachris. Remember back in Yeshiva, we were makbid for Shachris, and Mincha, and if available, Ma'ariv too. But Poskim have an interesting discussion. What's the reason for it? There's a concept called Maschil B'mitzvah Omen Lo Gemar. You start a mitzvah, this Magen Avraham Zalshin, we tell him to finish it. Now people challenge that. What does the mitzvah of Slichos have to do with the mitzvah of Tefillah? Are the two separate things? So there's some people that Binyan Shlomo says nothing to do with it. It's just a nice little gift we give to a guy who davens Slichos, not so easy, it's not so chashiv, so we throw him a shachris too. But I saw other people try to explain Maschil B'mitzvah Omen Lo Gemar is a proof to the ideal that when we go through Slichos in these days, it's not just a separate side thing. It really becomes part and parcel of tefillah, of davening. It's a longer davening. We have Slichos. But it gives a certain extra chashivas. Put for care from the beginning of Shlomo. It gives an extra chashivas for what Slichos is. These days of coming up to the Yamin Arayim, Aseres Bei Tshuva, when you're davening Slichos, you're davening something which is now part of davening. We need extra tefillos these days. And since it's part of davening, we say Maschil B'mitzvah. You started davening the mitzvah, Omen Lo Gemar. We don't say that necessarily the rest of the year. You daven Shachris, they don't tell you daven Mincha. But here it's connected to Shachris. It's part of Shachris. So Maschil B'mitzvah, Omen Lo Gemar. And Hu Adin, other things too. So these are basic requirements for a Baal Tefillah. You pick someone of stature, ideally someone married, someone who's 30, Chavetz Chaim might say 60, someone the Kehila wants, all important things. Talk if they go through all the stories. Does a person live up to that? Does a person fit that? I don't know, a deaf man in the shtibel, I don't know if his son really could have davened. It's an oval. I'd like to end with a story, which isn't a movie, it isn't a song, It's actually a true story. Once was a Talmud who, over the years, strayed from the path or the ideal of one of his rebbeim. And he started his own yeshiva, his own institution, and his Rebbe wasn't happy with the way he was leading it. And there was a certain degree of strife, spoken or unspoken, over the years. One year, the chazan in, we'll call it the bigger yeshiva, the older yeshiva, got sick. And they needed a chazan for the Yamin Naraim. That Talmud happened to be, he was the Baal Tefillah in his own yeshiva. And he decided, what better way to make amends with my Rosh Yeshiva, with my Rebbe, from after all these years, than to come on Yom Kippur and daven for the Amud, leave my yeshiva, to come on Yom Kippur to seek Mechila and daven for the Amud of my Rebbe and his yeshiva. That's not a Hollywood script. Could mirror one. But there's so much that goes into being a chazan. It's not just saying the words. It's the person behind the words. It's the meaning of a person's heart. And the actions, the feelings, the stature, the life experience of that person plays a tremendous role in the sound of his voice. Not just the tune, but really the words, what goes behind it. And we should all be zocha, whoever we daven, whoever is our shliach tzibur, that we should all be zocha to the ksiva v'achsima tova, the kutiyar, and bez Hashem, to see everybody back here next year when we have a share after Shabbat Shuvah, bez Hashem, about the Yom Tov HaSukkos. Thank you very much.